This is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down with John Sander, who is the Vice President of Research and Development at Lubrication Engineers. In 1989, John began his career at Lubrication Engineers, where he has been responsible for a variety of lubricant quality, formulation, and testing activities. Today, we're going to speak with John about lubricant viscosity. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, Paige. How are you?
Great, thanks. So we're going to dive right in. So to get us started, can you define what viscosity is?
I sure can. Very simply, it's the measurement of the restrictions of flow of a fluid, typically speaking. When you get to lubricants, sometimes there are various different types of lubricants. So I might actually go a step further and say that when we start looking at some things like greases, which are a semi-solid, that definition breaks down a little bit, but I'll leave it as basic as what we've said thus far.
Okay, perfect. So then why is viscosity the most important attribute in proper lubrication?
Well, as you can imagine, when you've got moving parts on a piece of machinery, if the lubricant can't get into the zone where it needs to be in order to lubricate, then the lubricant can't do its job of reducing friction. And if you can't reduce friction, well, then you're going to create wear, and eventually the machine breaks down very rapidly. So obviously it's extremely important that the viscosity is such that the lubricant will get to where it needs to go.
Okay, awesome. So then next, I'm curious, so what conditions should be considered when specifying the proper viscosity of a lubricant for a given application?
Well, so there's always the really simple one that a lot of times people throw out there, the rule of thumb, LETS, L-E-T-S, which stands for load, environment, temperature, and speed. And so what they're meaning by saying each one of those, the load, is obviously the heavier something is loaded. So if you've got impact loading, something's being stressed very hard, a piece of construction equipment slamming into a pile of dirt or something. At that point, well, you're going to need a thicker lubricant that stays in place more thoroughly than if you've got something that's moving at a very light load. You don't need nearly as heavy or thick or heavy of a lubricant in place because you need it to move into the or stay in the contact zone or not. The other one, environment. So if we've got something that's extremely wet or maybe it's going to be extremely cold outside or very hot, those are other things that must be considered when you're looking at the viscosity of the lubricant. If it's going to have poor low temperature properties and you're going to be operating in a very low temperature environment, well, then that's problematic. Same thing being true in a very, very hot application. If it's going to be extremely hot, you're probably going to need something with a higher viscosity so that it doesn't turn runny. And once again, we're back into that same situation where we don't have any lubricant in place to do the lubricating. The next one was temperature. I started alluding to that already in the environment, but oftentimes you also have to keep in mind that there may be a broad temperature range, and so that might control what kind of viscosity type of product that you pick as well. If it's going to be operating at low and high temperatures, you have to take that into consideration. So there's sounds a little more complex, but anyway, the last one that I'm going to throw out there is speed and then containability. The speed, if we're talking about something that's moving very, very fast, it means that you're going to need a very thin, easy flowing lubricant. If you've got something that's moving very, very slow, if you've got something that's very thin, it's going to drip off and it's not going to be in the place where it needs to be to do the lubricating. So once again, taking into account whether or not a bearing or a gear or whatever your application is moving very fast or very slow, you would need to have a high viscosity lubricant for slow speed and a low viscosity for high speed applications. Kind of sounds like you're saying the opposites, which gets a little confusing. Remember, that's the ability of the lubricant to flow. So at high speeds, thinner, low speeds, thicker. Finally, that containability thing, I bring that up only because at that point now we're talking about whether or not we have a product. If you've got your application inside of a sump gearbox, for example, a lot of times the gears are actually inside of a bath, and the lubricant is splashed around and rides around on the gears. There are also gear applications that are open gear, they call them. Well, because they're open, that means when the lubricant goes on the gear, it actually just rides around on the gear and lubricates while it's riding around. You need a very high viscosity product, but you don't have it contained. Another reason for mentioning the containability is a lot of bearings are open. If you were going to lubricate with a fluid lubricant, it's going to drain right out. And once again, there's no lubricant there to do the lubricating. So that's where you might use something like a grease. Greases being more of a semi-solid, they're evaluated by something called a penetration number instead of an actual viscosity grade. But I would liken it to be somewhat similar.
All right, excellent. So then what viscosity classifications exist and why is it important to use them?
There's actually several. The ones that most people are familiar with, it depends on when you start talking about an automotive application or an industrial application. Typically, when you start talking about automotive applications, you're going to be looking at SAE, or Society of Automotive Engineer specifications. And the most common two that are familiar to most people are SAE J300, which is the viscosity classification for engine oils, and SAE J306, which is the viscosity classification for gear oils. Most of us are familiar with when all of a sudden you see a bottle of oil at your local automotive store, and you walk in there and you pick it up, and it'll say something on it like 10W40 or 5W20 or something like that. Well, the first thing I'm going to point out on that is that 5W is talking about the low temperature viscosity. If it makes it easier for you to remember it, the W stands for your winter grade. The second one was the 20 or the 40. That is your SAE viscosity grade that's based upon your kinematic viscosity of the product. Kinematic viscosity is a type of test that you run, and it actually has a measurement of the resistance to flow through a glass capillary. When we talk about some of the low temperature viscosity tests that we run, making it into that 5W, you're looking at rotational ones that are actually sort of more of a measure of torque to evaluate that resistance to flow. When we talk about it, so typically you're familiar with those ones that are talking about the 0W, 5W, 10W, all the way up to 25W. Those are your winter grades. The common SAE J300 grades that we're familiar with are 20W, or SAE 20, SAE 30, 40, 50, and 60. Now you're starting to hear some newer ones for automotive applications, the SAE 16 grade, and I haven't heard of anything less than a 0W, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody doesn't start having some requirements below 0W. I don't know where you're going to go there. Negative 0W, I haven't heard the industry talk about those, but 16W has already been proposed through the Society of Automotive Engineers. Wow. The SAE J306 is more for gear oils, and that one goes, you have 70W, 75W, 80W, and 85W. Those are your winter grades. And then when you go to your operating temperature viscometric numbers, they're 80, 85, 90, 110, 140, 190, and 250. So it's kind of, these are a little deceiving because sometimes you look at them and you immediately say, well, in according to the J300 classification, you have an SAE 50 grade engine oil, and then you might look at a J306, SAE 90 gear oil, and you would think, well, the 50 weight's got to be thinner than the SAE 90. Well, if you get to looking at them side by side at their 100 centistoke viscosity, they're basically almost the same. So keep in mind those are two different classifications. So we've kind of beat those up pretty hard. So let's move on to the industrial common one that's used, and that is the ISO grade viscosity ranges. From an ISO grade, you start all the way with an ISO 2 and go all the way up to an ISO 1500. I'm not going to read through all the various different ones in between, but basically the thing to remember with that is kind of a rule of thumb so that you can tell what the range is for those. If you know those grades, what you do is divide that number by 10. So let's say we're talking about an ISO 100 to make the math really easy. That means that your range on that is going to be 10 minus that number and 10 plus that number. So an ISO 100 viscosity grade range would be from 90 to 110. And you can do that same kind of math for all of them. The smaller the ISO grade number, the tighter the range gets. And the same thing being true, the corollary going the other way. The higher the viscosity grade range, the larger the range gets. The SAE kinematic viscosities were run at 100 degrees centigrade. The ISO grade ones are run at 40 degrees centigrade. So the test is run the same, but now we've varied the temperature, and that temperature is kind of related to the operating temperatures under which the oils would be exposed. So keep in mind, 100 degrees centigrade for those of us that are in the U.S., that's around 212 degrees Fahrenheit. 40 degrees centigrade is around 104 degrees Fahrenheit. So when you're talking about operating equipment, we're talking about engine oils, they're going to be operating at a relatively high temperature. So 212 degrees Fahrenheit or 100 degrees centigrade versus the ISO grade ones, which are industrial, which are down at 40 degrees centigrade or 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Just as a side note, there is also an ISO grade or an AGMA grade, which is also tied to the ISO grades for gear oil specific. That one's starting to lose a little favorability, but there's matched up AGMA numbers to the various different ISO grades. And it ranges from an ISO 32 up to the ISO 1500. And they have some different deals on the AGMA one where they start telling a little bit about the chemistry, and that's beyond the scope of what I think we're talking about here. So I'll stop on that.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, John, so much for your time today. And I'm sure we've got a few other topics to cover with you at another time. So I'm sure we'll talk again soon. But thank you very much.
We are absolutely welcome.